Hello everyone, my name is Arturo Eliz Herreras. I am the Bible teacher for the Mexico City Church and one of the evangelists here. I am leading the Ezra Project Foundation, our legal version of the teaching ministry. And I am very happy to spend some time with you sharing something useful for your life. Thank you so much to my great friend Douglas Jacoby for this opportunity to do a podcast to his premium website. Imagine to live in a country that is in the middle of a war and living a deep social decomposition. In the last 6 years, 50,000 deaths. More than 5,000 disappear. More than 1,000 children killed. Thousands of orphans and widows. Imagine that every time that your wife goes out to the street or your husband goes to work, you have fear that she or he will be kidnapped, and you will receive a call late at night asking for ransom or they will kill your relative. Imagine that every morning that you take your children to school, you return home with anxiety because you don't know if that day a shootout may take place out of the school and your children will be in danger. Imagine living in fear of spending one Saturday afternoon with your family in the movies in a famous downtown mall, because you don't know if that day you will be in danger. Imagine that you cannot go with your family to the main city public square to celebrate your country's Independence Day or any other national festivity, because you have feared that somebody is going to throw a grenade to the people. We are not talking of some distant African or Middle East or Asian country. We are talking of Mexico, just south of the border with the US. Now, imagine being Christian in the middle of all this. Welcome to Mexico, 2012.
Is Mexico under fire? Another day in Mexico.
Now let's go to Hebrews 5, verse 5 to 9, please. Let's go to read something in our Bible, especially here in the book of Hebrews, that we can learn so much from it. Hebrews 5, verse 5 to 9, it says, "So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' And he says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek.' During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and the ones made perfect he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You can check here in the scripture some of the titles that Jesus receives: Son of God, High Priest, Priest Forever. But in verse 7, we understand that the price for those titles was a high price. It says during the days of Jesus' life on earth, prayers and petitions were made with loud cries and tears. That means that many days during Jesus' life, he was crying, he was praying with tears, and he was giving loud cries to God. And it's very interesting to understand why he was crying during those times. The New Testament shows the next. In Luke 19:41, it says that he was crying for Jerusalem, watching forward to his destruction because of its negligence and blindness to understand who was Jesus. In John 11:32, when he saw Mary weeping about her brother's death, he felt compassion for them. In Mark 3:3, he had a mix of anger and deep distress because of the stubborn heart of people. In Matthew 26:39, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of the very difficult moments in Jesus' life. He was going to die. So he was praying to the one who could save him from death. During Jesus' lifetime, he suffered rejection, mockery, temptation, persecution, death threats, betrayal, and finally, violence and death. If Jesus was in human form today in 2012, he for sure will cry also for many cities around the world, probably for your own city where you live now. We need to understand that since Jesus was born, he was under fire. You can remember that his birth was marked with the baby's massacre in Bethlehem, ordered by Herod, Matthew 2:16. And we can see here in Hebrews 5:8 that he learned obedience through suffering. He was perfected through suffering. And that's very interesting because the only one in the world who can solve the real needs of people is Jesus. You know that. He can solve the need that people has now in pain or about suffering or about sin and its consequences. And the way that he can solve that is because he was in touch with all these human feelings, because he himself was living also in suffering since he was born. How about us? Sometimes only through suffering we are perfected. When we are on the fire in our lives, we can talk about economy or family or health problems or persecution for Christ or even sin consequences. Well, that's an opportunity to be perfected. In Mexico, in our churches here, we have been understanding more about this concept, to be perfected through suffering. Because there are some churches here in Mexico City or some regions in the Mexico City Church who are literally under fire. Let me share some things to you so you may understand more what we are living. The churches in northern Mexico are learning how to live life in the middle of so much violence. Some weeks ago, 43 mutilated bodies without head, legs, or arms appeared at a main highway close to a northern city of Mexico. It is believed that they were innocent people who were kidnapped days before and killed just for sending a message to other group or to the government. The kids in those cities, and even the kids of disciples, are learning now what to do if they are caught in the middle of a shootout, in the street or in a public park, or even in the school. Midweek meetings have been modified or cancelled because of the insecurity in the streets. Different models of fellowship are being explored right now. Sharing the faith in the street has become also a real challenge. Different models are being explored now. And the church is learning how to study the Bible with people who come from drug cartels background and want to know God. So the churches in the north side of Mexico are really learning several lessons about suffering, about living in danger, about living under fire, but keeping the faith at the same time. How about Mexico City? Well, it is said right now that Mexico City is the safest city in all the country. But, in spite of that affirmation of that idea, we have also our own problems here. In the east side of Mexico City, brothers and sisters who live there and have small business in commercial areas have been under constant extortion by one of the main Mexico drug cartels who are trying to infiltrate Mexico City. They arrive to their business and they say to them, "Or you pay use rights, or the next time that we will come, we will kill everyone in your store, including you." And they are not lying. They can do that, and they have done that. So disciples there are in a very difficult situation, because that's the only way to live, those that small business that they have, and they are trying to learn how to survive. In my region, my region is in the north side of Mexico City. Two relatives of Christians were executed in the past year, a brother and a mother of disciples. The place where we used to meet has been surrounded in the nearby area by three big shootouts. One of those shootouts was at the same time that we were having our midweek service, very, very close to that. We were not even realized that there was a shootout in the street, but that was happening while we were in our midweek service. God was taking care of us, for sure. We are learning how to give Christian counseling to these families who have been under fire. It is not easy, because there are a lot of new situations that we were not expected to live. Just yesterday, a grenade was threw to a bus station in a town very close to Mexico City. Several people, including children, were injured. So this is our reality now. And we need to live, we need to learn how to live a Christian life in the middle of all these new situations for us. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance to the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." You remember the background of chapter 12 in the book of Hebrews? It is chapter 11, the famous faith list, all the heroes of faith. And the author of the book is encouraging us to live our Christian life with perseverance. And after reviewing all those heroes of faith, this author says to us, beginning here in chapter 12, several key things. First, in verse number 2, he says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." When we are under fire in our lives, the first thing that we need to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because if we don't do that, if we just fix our eyes on the problems or the crisis or the diseases that we have, or anything that is creating us suffering, then we will get discouraged. So we need to learn how to fix our eyes on Jesus first. Second thing It says that who for the joy set before him enduring the cross. Something that Jesus did on the cross was that in the middle that he was suffering so much in the cross, his eyes were fixed on the future joy that he will have and that so many people will have for his sacrifice. We need to learn that from Jesus. We need to put our eyes fixed on the future joy of the Christian life or the Christian heaven or being one day with God in the eternity. And we need to learn how to get strength from that. It's a whole different perspective on how to face life trials. I know that probably it sounds too idealistic, but we need to learn how to take this idea to the practical level in our lives. Because believe me, when you are under fire, you need to learn how to do that. Otherwise, your life will not be as it should be, as God wants to be when we are under trials. In verse number 3, we find something very important. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It is a reality that we live in a world that is completely under the power of sin. It is a reality that sinful men are around us all the time, and sometimes they will do some damage to us or to our families or to our churches. And we need to learn from Jesus how he endured such opposition from all those sinful men. Because in that way, we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. So at the end, what is creating so much pain in our country, in Mexico, and in so many countries and cities around the world? At the end, is only one word, sin. It is greed and love for money that is moving all the drug cartels and corruption in authorities. It is sinful desire and lack of self-control that is leading many into drug addiction. It is pride and human arrogance that is leading people to a postmodernist mindset, rejecting universal and absolute truths. It is sin what is destroying teenagers' lives in the U.S. and in many countries with immorality, drugs, homosexuality, and materialism. It is sin that is killing men, women, children, and elderly in Mexico and Central America. Now we are facing new temptation for some disciples in Mexico who has been under fire. The look for payback, revenge, justice in their own hands. Now we are learning how to counsel those temptations because they are real. But at the end, the sin is the problem. The solution then is truly Christianity. We need to understand that only Christ and only Christian life is the only solution for this sinful world. So the message here is consider him. Look for Jesus. Imitate Jesus when you are under fire. Learn from Jesus what he did when he was under fire. Verse number 4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Most of us have never been to that point, resisting the devil to the point of shedding our blood. But there are some Christians in the churches in Mexico who has been to that point. In the Morelia church, that's a city in the state of Michoacán, a brother who was a doctor disappeared. It is believed that he was kidnapped and used by drug cartels to heal their wounded in battle. Just imagine how is right now the Christian life of this brother. Every day, far away from the church, far away from his family, probably without hope, probably expecting his death in any moment, trying to be a Christian in that situation. We pray that he one day may appear. In the church in Tepic, in the state of Nayarit, A brother was driving to give a Bible study to a non-Christian friend when he was intercepted by an armed group of men who took him out of his car with assault rifles pointing to him and taking him into another car. And later they took him to an open place where they wanted to kill him. They were confusing him with somebody else, but once that he identified as a different person and even as a Christian, they changed their discourse and started to say, "Let's kill him anyway," and later burn him in his car. "Those Christians are gays. Let's kill all Christians." By the grace of God, the chief of the army group abandoned him there, and he was able to return home. But he was really, really in a very difficult moment. He is married, he has family, and he was just to the point of losing his life. Another brother, he was called Raul Moran, a couple years ago in December, after their special contribution service, that was a great meeting with many friends, he went to work at his small food business in a main avenue in the city. Suddenly, an armed group of men arrived and opened fire with assault rifles to all the people there. He and his employee were killed, and a customer was wounded. He was a great example in church. He was like the right hand of the minister there, a sector leader, helping people to convert. He was just baptizing a friend some weeks before his death. He was married, he had family, and now the church misses him very much. In an interview with the leader of that church, the minister there was sharing about a women conference that was taking place at that moment and about a lot of Bible studies that they were starting with people to study. And he was saying literally, "A brother was killed, another was kidnapped and almost killed. My wife has cancer, but we are really happy watching God's blessings with baptisms and restorations." When I hear him saying all those words and even sharing about his wife that she was diagnosed with cancer and was under chemotherapy, that was a really shock for me and for all the brothers and sisters who listened to that. He was happy, and he was able to say that he was very happy, and the church in that city was very happy in spite of all this violence and problems and suffering and fear that they were facing. So that is what God can do in our hearts when we face suffering with our eyes fixed on God's joy and on Jesus. Not on the situations, not on the problems, not on the bad people around us, but in God. Let's finish with Hebrews 13, verse 1. Verse 1 to 3, it says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering." Verse number 5. "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never I will leave you, never will I forsake you.'" And let's check finally verse 16. And it says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." What should we do in the middle of our suffering and trials, especially with our brothers and sisters in the Christian church? Well, chapter 13 ends the book of Hebrews with several key lessons. In verse number 1, it says that we should keep loving the church. We should keep loving each other. It is when much love is needed, when we are under trials and sufferings, that is when we more need to love each other. Because in that way, God works through the love of the church. In verse number 3, it says to remember those who are in prison. It is a call to empathy with those Christians who are suffering for human injustice. So we need to understand that when we hear about churches who are suffering around the world, what God is expecting from us is to learn how to develop empathy to those churches and do something about it. In verse number 5, it says that we should keep our lives free from the love of money. We need to reject love for money and learn to be content with what we have. Because when we are in crisis, when we are on the fire, probably our finances, our material situation will not be the best. So we need to learn how to be content with what we have. All the contrary to where our materialist society guides us. They are always telling us to spend money, to have more money. But when we are on the fire, really, that is not important. We need to be content with what we have. On verse 16, the Bible says that we should not forget to do good, and we should not forget to share with others what we have. Doing good, share with others, those are sacrifices that pleases God when we are under fire. So when a part of the church is under fire, it's a great opportunity to help. Christians who are listening to this podcast, please pray for Mexico. Pray for the presidential elections next month of July. Pray for the church here so we can learn how to give glory to God in spite that we are under fire. And also, next time that you are under fire, remember the next. Number one, Jesus was under fire for you first. We can learn so much from him. Number two, Jesus was perfected through suffering, so we can be perfected also in our own sufferings. 3. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not on problems, or on evil people around us, or on the crisis that we are living. In that way, we will have another perspective of life. 4. Don't grow weary or lose heart. Endure your trials with God's joy set before you. 5. The big problem of the world is sin. Remember that. We can help this world to be a better place by sharing our faith and leading more people to Christ. Are you helping to that? 6. Let's appreciate Christians who has resisted sin and evil to the point of shedding their blood. One day, we may be at that point also. Be ready. Thank you for listening. Receive a big hug from all the churches of Mexico.